You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to my couch. I'm Dr. Michelle Cohen, and as always, for way over 15 years, I've been here on the couch with you to help you out with a lot of things that are going on in your life and also in the world and our country and how to cope with a lot of things going on. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today here on the couch. You might say that a lot of people say that the world is seemingly in more chaos than ever before. I don't know, you think? But a lot of history, if you really read a lot about world history, yeah, there's been a lot other difficult times in our history of life. But we have the politically divided country still, seemingly more than ever before. There's constant tension, fears about our economy, personal financial fears, issues going on, nations capable of annihilating the globe with unheard of nuclear weapons, changes in the Earth's landscape, climate, as we consume so many negatives in the news. There's really a silver lining out there. And we folks in the, you know, higher frequency realm, or so we say, or the light workers, as a lot of people say, psychologists who are trying to uplift, and especially my special guest, Scott Grace, is one of those people who is going to be here to inspire us, as he always has in the past. I've had him on the show several times. You've probably seen him. And he has so much wisdom, and he has great coping mechanisms to help us through a lot of the chaos going on. And of course, with his enlightening books, social media, and music. Let me just give you a little introduction about Scott. His gifts are many. You've probably seen him a lot. A highly sought after singer, speaker, workshop leader, life coach, and stand-up comedian, who, by the way, let me just sidestep here. He used to open and talk with and get into the teachings of legends of Deepak Chopra, Louise Hay, Ram Dass, Dr. Byron Katie, Jack Canfield, Les Brown, Dr. Judith Orloff, and the Reverend Jesse Jackson, Marianne Williamson. Okay, the list goes on and on. That's my point here. And he's open for big name celebrities. You've probably also seen his viral YouTube video. He's known as the spiritual Dr. Seuss. And you can watch him talk about helpful and inspiring subjects from fear to love, releasing the fear of death, overcoming unworthiness, guiding you through the mind-body technique of tapping your negative thoughts away. And somewhere in all of that, he's found the time to pen 4 books. So let's bring him on. Scott Grace, the man. Yay. Are you there?
Dr. Michelle, while I was listening to your beautiful introduction,
yes,
I thought of a great slogan for you. When your heart has an ouch, join Michelle on her couch.
Yay! I love it. Okay, I'm going to use that. Do I have to pay you copyright fees?
Absolutely.
Oh, darn. Okay. You're that guy. You're that guy. So you have written with all, and by the way, I could take up half an hour with your bio. So let's jump into a lot of, you know, your philosophies, your wisdom, helping people out today. We can talk about your books a little bit. Some of the books, by the way, he's written some and more on the way. Teach Me How to Love. I mean, we all need to do that. That's the book, Teach Me How to Love. By the way,
That's a memoir.
Yes, it is. And it's a good memoir. You'll learn a lot of lessons from Scott's journeys in that book. Also, The Places Your Eagle Will Go and Other Stories, another great book. Also, Mindful Masculinity, which we talked about last time we got together on the show, huh, Scott? Didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
And his latest book, How to Evolve During the Trump Experience, Whether Humanity Joins or Not. Now, I'm just going to do a little disclaimer here. You know me, Scott, right? And because I describe myself as sort of a consciousness and somewhat spiritual psychologist, I try not to discuss heavy political subjects here on the couch. But rather, I like to weigh the positives and negatives of certain political belief systems so viewers can weigh in their own truths. You know, everybody can find what vibrates with them. So I don't hate. I don't be hating. I don't argue. I give perspectives and coping skills. So what the dealio is here, Scott and I have agreed, he's going to guide us with wisdom and empowering tools to help those who may be sort of unhappy with the outcome of the election and inspire folks to move on and utilize their own self-empowerment. And that's what you do in all of your books, Scott.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and thank you for that, because you're so wise.
Yes. And by the way, if you are triggered and really are angry about anything said today, send your hate mail to Scott Grace is totally responsible for anything that happens this hour at gmail.com. And yes, I have a lot of people who will be reading those and responding with compassion.
There you go. And I agree. And I do. And I love your compassion, really. But I was telling Scott, the backstory is I was telling Scott earlier in the week that, you know, I'm kind of tired of hate mail. So, no, hey, you know, you have a podcast, you do shows, you whatever, you speak. Well, you're going to get hate mails, but that's okay. But yeah, yes, filter it and send it to Scott, please. So you're in a beautiful part of the world right now. And I'm just so jealous because it is pouring down rain here in Los Angeles, which we need, but maybe after the fires, not so much. But let's kind of jump into rather than the small talk. And you say, quote,
potato, I say potato.
That's right. Tomato. My point of perception is that I'm a member of Love's Reconstruction team here on a mission. What is that team and what, how do you do that? What's your mission, Scott?
Well, to be the change that I want to see in the world. To light a candle and not curse the darkness.
There you go.
To take my attention away from what I can't stand and put it to what I do stand for. It can go on and on. There's a lot of cliches, but really it's just to be of good cheer and to not contribute to fear, because there's enough fear to go around.
Yeah.
And I would rather make a joyful sound and keep my feet on the ground and spread some joy around.
Yes. I love all that. And by the way, tune into the YouTube again, you know, it's Scott, I love it because you have a wonderful YouTube. You're the spiritual Dr. Seuss. You are. That's who you are. And he's also an amazing writer and musician, as you can tell. So a lot of your answers are just so, I mean, they're clever, and we have the rhyming, but also they're deep. We're going to go deep today. So that's true. I mean, we're going to talk about how to turn our brains into sort of a more positive and less chaotic mindset with, you know what anger does. You're the tapping expert too. Check out his tapping YouTubes, by the way, which are teaching you how, you know, EMDR and all of those body mind techniques are real. They're real and they work. That's right. But I do digress. So you are a part of Love's Reconstruction team. And so you are trying to really help people move through a lot of the chaos and the anger and the inner stress and the turmoil that's going on to try to penetrate the world with love without conditions, right? There's conditions and all that. So besides lighting candle, besides doing all of that, you have wise steps very, you have 12 steps, and that has nothing to do with the 12 steps of AA. But I mean, you have 12 wise steps of how to help people get through a lot of their worries and chaos and fears and all that. And we're going to talk about some of those steps, dealing with the current politics and finances and everything. We wake up and the first thing we think, oh my God, I have to. Right. So let's talk about step number one.
Step number one.
Admit that you are grieving. Do your grief work. Now, a lot of people think of, you know, just doing the Kubler-Ross Dabda grief work. But you're talking about something deeper than that, right? You're talking about healing it. So I shall be quiet now, and please let you elaborate on that.
All right. Well, let's say that you're angry about what's going on in the world right now. Let's say that when Kamala lost, you threw a shit fit, and that fit is continuing to dominate your nervous system. And I would say, great, do something with that anger that helps make the world a better place. You know, you got to move with the energy, and again, turn it to something you stand for. Take the energy away from what you can't stand. But also a part of why people get so angry, especially at things we can't really control, is because underneath that, you're deeply hurt, deeply disappointed, maybe afraid of what the world's coming to, what my country is coming to, the pain that some people are going to be enduring because of this man's policies. But, and here's the thing, these are grief reactions. You are in a grieving process. And the more you can acknowledge and hug yourself and say, I am so sad, I'm so frustrated, I had a dream that Kamala would be the first woman president. I had a dream that that my country would be moving more towards sanity, and that dream, at least in this moment, has been shattered. And then cry your eyes out as often as you can.
And you did this, and you did this, which is that havening technique, which you also teach.
The what technique?
That havening of self-soothing.
Oh my God, I love that technique.
Yes.
It's like, you know, it's beyond tapping in some ways.
Yes.
It's more of a, it's like a feminine approach to healing trauma.
Yes, exactly. But it also, you know, it helps body and mind self-soothe fears. And again, I'm not going to be, you know, politically assertive here, but what I'm saying is yeah, that self-soothing, you know, about things going on in your world, in your country, whatever they may be, even if it's not, you know, unhappiness with politically what is happening. Everything. There's worries about finance and, my gosh, our economy. What's going on with, you know, the earth has a lot of on too with, you know, Mother Earth's torrential climate changing and stuff like that. So whatever you're worried about, whatever you have to deal with every day when you wake up, it's called surviving and taking care of yourself and possibly your family. These are, you know, some of the techniques and some of the things you can do. Embrace the grief. Allow. You have to go through that stage. Crying your eyes out, like you said, go for it. Because the more we are doing that, the less we're suppressing. Right, Scott?
Yes.
Yeah. And suppression makes depression. Put that in your songs, you know.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Suppression. Can you hear me, Michelle? The guitar and everything?
Yes.
So suppression leads to depression. I've got a confession. I've been there myself. Instead of suppressing, do some undressing, and soon you'll be blessing yourself. Undress your anger, undress your rage. let all your sadness out of a cage, and you will see outrage turns to outrageousness. Let yourself be blessed. Turn your outrage into outrageous yes, and then you will be blessed.
Love it. There you go. I am so glad we started out with one of your gifting songs. You know, you just create wonderful rhymes and beautiful songs, and thank you for that. That is true. So we have to create our own inner, do our own inner work, which kind of leads me to step number three in your book. It says, preside over your state. You are the president of your United States. So tell me how, and tell viewers how they can do that best.
Oh, my. Well, we're talking about being in your power. Being in your Oval Office, which means you reside as a dictator. This is not a democracy. You dictate how you choose to feel. The way you put on a pair of your clothes in the morning, you are making a conscious choice. Yes. You can put on an attitude of gratitude, and that ain't no platitude. And you don't have to give fear any latitude.
Yes.
I think I'm out of rhymes. Wait, let me check it out. You know, that's it. So yes, like I'm, you know, like, wow, Tony Bennett, James Taylor, they sang that song about a smile on your face. I love that song.
Oh, me too. No,
and that's off the head and cheer up, put on a happy face. And then your ego, your inner critic will say, how can I be happy when so many people are unhappy?
Right.
Well, it's the best gift you can give people because we're all connected and we all feel each other's vibrations.
Yeah, exactly.
And so there's room for grief, and certainly it's so important. There's room for anger, and certainly anger can be like the most motivating force inspires you for social change and activism. Every emotion has a positive and a negative.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you're the one that puts on a happy face. The world doesn't do it to you.
That's right.
You know, if Kamala got in, you'd find other things to worry about.
Right.
I believe that until we get really conscious, we're all addicted to worry and pain and suffering.
Yeah. And you know about all the, you know, the teachings, which, you know, I talk about and have. Is, you know, thoughts that fire together wire together, and we just keep on fearing and hating and, you know, the same negative feelings. That's fine if that makes you feel okay, but you're right, we do get addicted. And what happens is we continue to release all these fight or flight negative chemicals, you know, in our brain, and that lowers our immune system and makes us depressed and anxious, and that's cool to let it out and feel and grieve, but hanging on to persistent negative feelings really can help, you know, us get sicker. So we need to, like you said, we have to just sort of work through and be our own president, be our own person of one, be our self-soothing soul. And, you know, I think before we bring joy to the others, we have to bring joy within ourselves and say, where am I at in my life? I'm okay, right? Where am I at? Right. What can I do besides self-soothe? And that's wonderful that you talk about. What can I do to really go within and find who I am in this world to be a better person for others, right? I mean, and you do a lot of that work, you know, which I love. So,
Dr. Michelle.
Yes.
Let's tell a true story that inspires people to reach across the aisle.
Yep.
Okay. So during He Who Shall Not Be Named's first presidency, or maybe the algorithms will get more viewers if I say his name, Trump. He's not Lord Voldemort. We could say his name, Donald Trump. Remember, send your hate mail to me. So, so during his first presidency, I sat on an airplane, and right next to me across the aisle was a couple. They were older.
Yeah.
And they had these red hats on, not Santa Claus, but MAGA hats. And at first I put my headphones on. I felt this adrenaline, this rush of threat. These judgments sailed through my head.
Right.
So I breathed. I gave myself some love. Wow, Scott, you're having a strong reaction to these people.
Yeah.
And I love you, and it's safe, and no one's going to hurt you. And we don't really know anything about them just because we see a hat. Let's not tell a story. Let's be curious.
Yeah.
So when I felt soothed enough, I took off my headphones, and I looked over, and they were talking about their grandchildren. Oh. And I said, excuse me.
Uh-oh.
I'm curious, how many grandchildren do you have? And I got them to have a conversation with me about their adorable grandchildren. I asked for pictures. They got really animated, and just everyone's guard was down. I told them about my daughter and showed them pictures. And so it was just a happy, good time. We had 4 hours to kill.
Yeah.
And I was staying within the boundaries of,
yes,
what do we have in common? I would rather connect than correct or right. protect. Those were my three choices.
Right. Exactly.
Protect by keeping the headphones on, drowning right. them out, or correct. How can you wear those hats? Are you crazy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or connect by right. finding out there's a little humanity that we all share.
Right.
Why don't we do it? Why don't we make the effort? See what happens.
Sure.
Now, at a certain point, I felt safe enough, and I felt like just my intuition was saying, go ahead, take a risk. And I said, do you mind if I ask you a personal question? And at that point, they were pretty defenseless. They said, no. I said, what kind of world are you hoping President Trump leaves for your grandchildren? And they painted a picture of a world that I want for my daughter.
Yes, yes.
It was like unusually cosmic for me to have them speak about everyone getting their needs met, everyone having equal opportunities. It floored me.
I love
that. And I left it at that. I said, thank you. That really touches me. I gave them one of my children's CDs, and you know, we promised to keep in touch. We didn't, but it was a beautiful sentiment.
Sure. Yeah.
And it really brought home the point that's what we need to do, to reach across the aisle, and in this case, it was literal.
Yes, exactly.
And
right.
And it was an unforgettable experience.
Right.
So I changed the words to Nat King Cole's Unforgettable to drive home the point that there's something instead of fear, protection or correction, and it's connection. And yes. it also could be, it just starts with curiosity, genuine curiosity.
Yes. Yeah.
Curiosity. Instead of fear, curiosity, it brings good cheer. When I lead with my humanity, it replaces my insanity. I'd like to practice with Sean Hannity too.
You're silly. You're silly. I love that. By the way, in case you just tuned in, that was lovely. My special guest is Scott Grace. You've seen him with his a viral YouTube Spiritual Dr. Seuss podcasts, YouTube videos. Also the author of 4 books, Teach Me How to Love, Oh, the Places Your Ego Will Go, and other stories, Mindful Masculinity, and his latest book, How to Evolve During the Trump Experience, Whether Humanity Joins You or Not. And again, this is not a political show where I push hate and division and all that stuff. This is more of a teach yourself how to take care of yourself if you're having a rough time, you know, in this day and time of our political climate. And things that you can do. His book's excellent because it really is take care of yourself no matter what kind of book, basically. And it's just, like you said, reaching across the aisle. There are so many things in common that we as humans, you know, really need and want. And when we really reach across the aisle, we can find out sometimes that we do have a lot more in common. Now, we can, like you said, choose to really dislike those who are in power, but as well, I mean, we can also find common interests, which we all want. And that's what you talk about in your wise 12 steps to help people in their current lives deal with no matter what as well. So we talked about the grief work and, you studied with, I was reading Hilda Charlton, right? Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about her work that really helped you a lot? Because I know she really was prophetic. She had really a good gift of prophecy. And so what are some of the things she taught you about and how to perceive the world in chaos?
The world, I was in my early 20s and I lived in New York City, and every Thursday night, she had about 400 students come into the Cathedral of St. John on Amsterdam Avenue.
Nice.
And I would travel from New Jersey, wherever I was. I would never miss a Thursday night.
Yeah.
She was in her 80s. And you could say, oh, she taught meditation, which she did, but she taught a lot more. And she had such an impact on me.
Yes. Yes. No, and that
I haven't gotten into specifics yet because I'm choking up.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Did you want to respond to what I've just said so far?
Yeah, sure, I sure will. No, that's right. There was a woman very similar to her who I used to go see back then in the 80s. Of course, I was 3 years old, so I didn't really understand a lot. But actually, her name was Beverly Gard, Dr. Beverly Gard. She taught the same kinds of things. She taught about self-empowerment and how, and you know, in your books, you always say, you can call it higher consciousness, God, the spiritual, you know, guru, whatever, Buddha, you know, Jesus, whoever that higher power is. But how you get in touch with that within yourself is what she was talking about, basically. And we all have that. That's why we're here, is to bring that out within this 3D body, right? What do you think about
that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, you know, basically, you know, how to cope with, and I think you'll agree with me because of your writing, we came here to learn all that stuff. That's basically the stuff, and not repeat a lot of the negative fear that's, you know, suppress the Homo sapiens sapien for as long.
Oh my God, Michelle. I do. I see the world as a big university, Earth University, and that everybody on the planet, no matter how, let's say, closed-minded they seem, are absolutely enrolled in classes.
Right.
And what makes it interesting, spicy, and challenging is that not everyone has the same classes. There are people who, let's say they were suppressed in childhood, they didn't have a voice. And so getting really angry and speaking out on Facebook or in Washington is actually part of their healing.
Sure. Sure.
And then there are people who are learning a different class. Like they've done enough of that and they're learning to contain their anger and turn their outrage into outrageous, let's say, kindness.
Right.
So we're sharing the same planet. And there's Love Lab. A lot of people are in love relationships, learning how to love and give and receive love.
That's for sure.
And then there are lessons that we all are enrolled in. Like,
right.
I think climate change is a planetary lesson.
Oh, and sure.
I think maybe Donald Trump, because he is impacting the whole world, sure. is a lesson.
Yeah.
I would say dealing with managing fear is a worldwide. I don't think you exist on this planet without having some kind of learning that involves fear or anxiety, if you want to use a buzzword. But I think that COVID was one of the main classes that affected everyone on the planet.
Oh my gosh!
At Earth University, and I wrote a song to the sound, to the music of "What a Wonderful World," and this is acknowledging, you know, what I saw us learning during during COVID and maybe even present day.
Right.
So facial masks, folks getting sick, stuck in our homes, binging Netflix, and I said to myself, it's still a wonderful world. I saw families slowing down, meals being shared, every emotion from joy to despair, and I thought to myself, it's still a wonderful world. Could it be that the pandemic, traumatic as it was teaching us resilience, maybe even love? I saw friends washing hands, standing 6 feet apart, learning there's no distance between our hearts. Now the shit's hit the fan, it's pouring like a geyser. I pray good things rise from Donald's fertilizer. Either way, I can say it's still a wonderful world. I can say to myself, it's still a wonderful world. Oh, yeah.
I love that Louis kind of growl that you put on in there. That's pretty cool. I saw him live when I was a child. My parents took me to see him. He was so cool. Anyway, let's talk about, that was beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. It is a wonderful world. And that's what we have to do to change exactly what you're saying. We still, despite everything going on, we have to, you know, just sort of be our own spiritual guides within first. And
you know, I'm reminding myself of Ram Dass.
Yes, yes.
He said, the world is perfect as it is, including your desire to change it.
Ah, yes.
I just have to tell you.
That's exactly right. And I know that you are in that beautiful sanctuary right now that you're showing us, where the sun is shining.
Yeah, let me turn it around a little bit.
Sure. Where you're at in Mexico. Look how beautiful that is. Look at that. Oh my gosh, that is a beautiful sanctuary.
It's called the Lake Chapala Society. And It's home for a lot of gringos, a lot of Americans and Canadians, because it's beautiful. Most people speak English, and a lot of things go on here. I perform every Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I love that. And you were talking about Ram Dass, and I know you performed with him as well. And, you know, you opened up for him and really commiserated with so many super spiritual and light workers.
Short story about Ram Dass. So he walks in, he's like a keynote speaker somewhere. And, and I got my guitar and I said, excuse me, could I sing a song to open it? And his, like, you know, his, I won't call him bodyguard, but his assistant said, please don't trouble him right now. he needs to go meditate before his talk. So I gave up on the idea.
Yeah.
And I'm walking around, you know, I got over my disappointment. I'm just walking. And somebody taps me on my shoulder and it's Ram Dass. And he says, would you mind playing a song?
That's right. Then there you go. See, and that's what it is. He meditated on it and he said, oh, wow, Scott Grace is going to give us all grace and help us kind of loosen up a little bit, play the music and use the lyrics. So I was wondering, out of all of the people that you have worked with and learned from so you could become the spiritual Dr. Seuss, such as Deepak Chopra, of course, Louise Hay, Ram Dass, like you said, Dr. Byron Katie, Jack Canfield, Les Brown, Jesse Jackson, Marianne Williams, all the people that you have commiserated with and worked for. Who are some of the most inspiring to you and what teach you that really helped you bring all of this wisdom to us? Not only through your music and your clever rhymes and your humor, but also through your books that are very insightful.
Thank you. I would say Marshall Rosenberg, the founder of Nonviolent Communication.
Yes.
There's so many mentors and inspiring people. But I would say, you know, traveling with him for 10 years, that I learned the most from him. He embodies, he's actually not embodied anymore, but he embodied humility. He shared his wisdom through playful puppets, and he played guitar. He always included music.
Sure.
He was one of my main mentors and models of gentleness, vulnerability, honesty about his own, you know, let's call it bumps in the road.
Sure. Sure.
And the main teacher is not one of the celebrities that you listed. It's a man named Richard Barty.
Uh-huh.
Who was, he's no longer in his body, but we met in New York City, Greenwich Village, and he was always on the D train when I was taking it to work. And most of us were commuters. He was actually on the train as a ministry, not to get anywhere, but to give something.
Right.
So Richard, when I first met him, was on a train and he held up, well, first he said, do you want to see a picture of the next savior of humanity? And this is at a time where everyone's buried in a newspaper, no cell phones, but everyone has their own way of trying to create a little privacy on the So he just had this twinkle in his eye. I couldn't resist it. Yeah. So I said, sure, show me a picture. And he takes out a pocket mirror and he says, you're it.
Aw, I love that. I love that. Yeah.
So I kept seeing him around. I once saw him just get everyone in a subway car to chant his famous slogan, more hugging, less mugging, more hugging, less mugging, more hugging, less mugging, more hugging, less mugging.
That's cute. It's true though. Yeah.
There's a lot to the story. Anyway, when I started to channeling the spiritual Dr. Seuss, it was so outrageous. There was nothing I could compare it to.
Right.
And I'd love to give your listeners a taste of it before we say goodbye. But I felt him beyond, from beyond. Yes. I felt him say, go for it, Scott. Do what no one has done before. Yes. Be outrageous. Like, carry the torch. He passed me the torch.
Yes. Yes. Oh, well, you felt that energy from him, and perhaps you were so connected. You guys were on the same frequency, and you were able to channel his energy as well. And that's exactly what you do. But that's what you've been doing a very long time as well. Something I always love to talk with you about is how you teach others to connect from the heart by giving into the divine feminine. And that's also in keeping with your theories in your other book that we talked about, Mindful Masculinity. And so can you share some of your ideas about how others can get more connected from the heart?
Well, first of all, I have a friend here in Mexico who she's Mexican, but she spent a couple of years, I think, cultivating marijuana in Northern California just to make a good chunk of money. And I said, what was your impression of Americans that's different from the natives here? And she said, well, they're very complex and there's all kinds of people. But if you want me to generalize, I would say they've lost connection with their souls. They don't come from their heart and soul. They just come from up here.
Right. Right.
So how do you teach somebody? First of all, they have to be interested. And usually it's tragedy that humbles somebody.
Exactly.
To actually be like, okay, is there another way besides this intellect? Is there some other way of experiencing life? Because this hasn't worked. I've hit bottom with my addiction to the thinking mind running my life.
Right.
And at that point, then I can teach by inspiring, embodying, and creating safety for their vulnerability to come out. But I can't pull it out with a crowbar.
Right.
And I can also be unashamedly vulnerable in public. And this is just one of my superpowers. It's I don't give a shit what other people think. One day I was walking down the street, just bawling really loudly. and I thought I was alone, didn't seem to be somebody. And then somebody comes up behind me and says, what are you doing? And I looked him in the eye and I said, I'm doing grief work.
Right. Right.
And no apology, no shame.
Yes.
And he said, oh, I got to do some of that. My wife just left me. I'm a mess, but I still keep trying to keep it together. How do you do this grief work? What is it? So we took a walk and I call it a grief walk.
Right.
And all I could do was, tell him about my journey and invite him to do some healing sessions with me. Which he didn't do, but that's all right. I think I impacted him in a very positive way.
Right. No, and that's beautiful. And I know you're into the Institute of Heart Math work, with, heart brain coherence and all that stuff. And I know you do that work as well. And there, in my in-law from my mother's side, on her side, she's not blood, but, there was someone who came from the Cherokee Indian tribe, and they used to use the word, and she taught me this, which is very interesting, Shante Ishta. And that means the eye of the heart, and how we all have to practice our looking through our vision with the heart. So that was the whole Institute of Heart Math, stuff about looking through. And what I'd like to do before you sing, because I want to ask you one more thing. I do. I love your music and I want you to take us out. But I want you to talk about something, in your book as well, that Byron Katie said that you shared with us, because it's really important, I think, for others. And that's basically in keeping with what you were saying. You don't kind of care what other people think many times. Mind your own business. That was like a big spiritual teaching from Byron Katie. you know, he was saying that, you know, we have our own business and whatever. Stay in your business means what? Minding your own mind? Or what were some of the things that you would say that you really talk about when you mention Byron Katie and his mind your own business?
Yeah, well, usually it's said that way. You know, people use those words in a harsh way, but minding your own business is be mindful of what you're thinking and how it's creating stress or peace, how it's creating optimism or pessimism, how it's creating anger or...
Right.
So you know, and this is a good way to close this out, I think, actually, because I did want to give you a taste of the spiritual Dr. Seuss medicine.
Yes.
And this is about the part of the mind that we call the inner critic that either is busy criticizing yourself or criticizing others and the world. I'm ambidextrous. I go both ways. This is what the spiritual Dr. Seuss says about that aspect of us. My critic travels with me on this earth and is my companion for worser or worse. It pretends it's my coach, my bestest amigo. And it pours on the guilt. That's the beverage of ego.
Yes.
It's there to protect us, to help us be strong. Yes. So it has to remind you, you've done it all wrong.
That's you're right.
You're weak and you're lazy and you don't have a clue. That's your drill sergeant critic trying to motivate you. Your critic wants you to be all you can be. So it gives you these pep talks all day and for free.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, the places we go and the guilt trips we travel as the critic plays judge and bangs down on its gavel. But you always can get some relief from your pain by projecting it onto the others you'll blame.
Yes.
For that is the critic at its beastiest best. It nurses its grievances close to its chest. Republicans, liberals, your parents, your ex. The world is just teeming with folks to correct. If only those fools could conform to your ways, you would get on with life without further delays.
That's for sure. And all you can do is, you know, control your own thoughts and feelings. And yeah, it's tough in this day and age. It's tough to move forward in the constant social media of negativity and the, you know, all that feeding us and our friends and family who are of like-mindedness or whatever, or not. And then that feeds the anger, like you said. So it's really being our own teachers, going within, finding our truth. And my favorite word, I think, and you would agree, is allow. And that doesn't mean egotistic, I allow others to have, you know, no. Just allow. Everybody has their own truth and their reality. And there's, to me, you know, certain rights and wrongs, but that's my truth. Right? That's what it is. And the biggie, I think, is that you're wrong in our own heads. Like you said, growing up, you know, we're going to have to wrap in just a bit, but I love your spiritual story about your own journey, you know, of finding who you are as this spiritual Dr. Seuss and this guru who's written amazing books to help and is a singer and a songwriter and a poet and a wise guy. I mean, you're a wise guy. But
I'll make you an offer you can't refuse.
All right. Ready.
No, that was a mafia saying from The Godfather, like wise guy.
Yeah. Yeah, let me.
I wish we didn't have to wrap up, Michelle.
We got that StreamYard guy just waiting to cut us off. anyway,
that's what more podcasts are about. We can do this as often as you want,
and so we will. Thank you so much for all of your wisdom and you know your music and your poems and your uplifting personality and just who you are, Scott. You're awesome.
Thanks. I appreciate you so much, Michelle. Aww. And I want to say that, you know, I don't do it alone. I have a coach, a therapist, guides. I don't want people to get the idea that just change your mind. You can do it all by yourself. Maybe you can, but if you need support, humble yourself, visit Michelle's couch. you can go to my website and explore my coaching. Just let yourself be supported.
Right. Yeah. What is your website so people can find you?
ScottSongs.com.
What's the best way?
ScottSongs.com. I'm on Facebook, Scott K. Grace. My middle initial is K, which is important. And they can find me on YouTube. So, but start with my website. Sign up, say hello. And thank you, Michelle, for letting me express my wisdom, my love, my humor. Aww. And I love you.
I love you too, Scott. You take it easy. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
All right. Okay, everybody. Thanks for joining me on the couch today. Uplifting entertainment, fun, and wisdom from Scott Grace. I'll be back next week with more great wisdom and help you out with some of your issues. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.